There's a thin line between love and hate. Who fucks with my mic every time? Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinmurn. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
You guys are in for a treat. Welcome to episode 17.5, and today's episode is going to probably change your life or improve it in some way. We are going to be talking about how hard to sell.
Good. Those are no expectations on this episode.
Well, I'm trying to sell it.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, you like that?
There's a reason you're here.
Tricky dicky.
All right, well. So it's not always just about selling or not selling. Sometimes it's how hard do you sell? And a couple of examples that have come up recently were, in the last episode, we talked about a decision we have to make with the dunk contest store. And that was, you know, two things are playing a big role in that decision. One was when we spoke to the MBA. So we spoke to the MBA to get a license. And when you're talking to them, you're trying to figure out, am I trying to impress them, right? Because it's the how much you pay is based on your projected sales. So it's in your best interest to tell them your sales are going to be as low as possible, because then your guaranteed minimum will be as low as possible. But at the same time, you feel like you're supposed to impress them, otherwise they may not give you the license. So you have that balance. And then two was, on the flip side, when we first started the store, it was a little bit of a rush before the season started. So things like ordering hats, our own dunk contest hats, where the lead time's a couple months out, we needed to jump on right away. So we asked the Warriors, like, how many do you think we should order? And so in hindsight, I'm not sure if their answers were aggressive based on wanting to make us think like, hey, this is a big opportunity, or if they were just comparing the arena store to a single store in Burlingame. But either way, both of those decisions kind of played a role in how the store went. So on the Warriors side, we ended up with way too much inventory on certain items, right? So instead of ordering, we probably should have ordered a couple hundred hats for each style for our own dunk contest hats. Instead, we're ordering 500 or 1,000. Brandon, if you're listening, we did have that conversation and you did recommend ordering 500 or 1,000, which he denies now. And then the second one, which is more crucial to the decision-making process, was with the MBA. So with the MBA, we got a warm introduction. We're considered part of the NBA family because of the relationship with the Warriors. And so we probably didn't have to impress them that much as far as how big it was going to be, right? But it still felt like, no, if you want an NBA license, there's a minimum that will be of interest to them. And so went into the conversations, and when they'd asked for projections, gave them, you know, as a combination of kind of what Brandon and the Warriors had told us to expect and also what we thought would be the minimum that would get them excited. And I remember even during the conversation, our rep at the time saying, you know, it's pretty aggressive. Are you guys sure you can do that at one store? You want to pull back a little bit? But when you're in negotiation, sometimes someone's basically trying to help you. But I just thought it was almost like a test.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure? Like, are they testing our commitment to these numbers? Like, no, we're good. We got it. Yeah, I think we can probably beat that. So the problem is you end up with a minimum guarantee. So the way it works is you pay your minimum guarantee up front, and then as you start selling things, they count that against the minimum guarantee. And if you were to exceed your minimum guarantee, that's when you would pay more. But even if you don't get to that minimum guarantee, you still have to pay that much.
Yeah.
So we did that. And after the first year, when we added the Lakers and the Kings, we gave our projections there, and there was a new rep this time. And she was like, are you sure this sounds a little aggressive? Like, but it almost felt like, well, you know what, we've already committed to it. And actually the first year we didn't hit our minimum guarantee in sales. So we still paid the minimum, but we didn't actually hit the number of units to actually get to that point. So like it worked out to be a higher percentage for us because we didn't get to that number. But we were trying now to add teams, so we figured, well, we can't show weakness here and say that, right? So we just said, no, it was because of X, Y, and Z, which were logical answers. But we think, you know, if you could just give us a slightly lower royalty on those two teams, we think we can do, based on what we've learned, we can do this and this. And it was funny. I was talking to a guy, this guy Jack, who is also an NBA licensee. And he was a former player, a college player. I think he played a couple years, maybe for the Spurs. And he had he has a brand as well that has an NBA license. And we were doing an event down in the LA store. And he was there. And we were talking about licensing. And I was like, yeah, you know, our biggest problem was I thought like we were trying to impress them with how much we would sell. So we ended up with a guarantee that was much bigger than it needed to be. And the league was almost trying to tell us, hey, that's a little aggressive. Pull back a little bit. Because they, you know, they want the businesses to succeed. So they would have given us a lower guarantee. And he's like, I did the same thing. It's like, I couldn't figure out if I should be trying to impress them with how much I was going to do or if I should be honest with them. And I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I think if you're completely honest and you said, hey, we're not really sure what we're going to do. We haven't figured out our marketing plan or this, that, and the other. There's a chance they say, well, why don't you get back to us after a year of running the store? But if I was to do it again, I would err on the side of not rushing into the conversation and spending a lot more time on projections and trying to figure out why I thought we would sell that much versus just, well, the Warriors said we could probably sell this much, and so let's go with it. I figured it'd be better to, like for us, for example, we counted a big wholesale component because we thought that the company that runs the Warriors arena store and their official team store, it's a third party that the Warriors contracted out to, we thought they would place a huge order, right?
Yeah.
And that was partially from conversations with the Warriors and partially from dealing with that company in the past. We thought, okay, well, for sure, every item we produce, they're going to buy X of. So when we're doing our minimum guarantee, we're counting wholesale. We're counting all that in going, well, that's cool because just selling to the official team store and the arena is going to cover a lot of our guarantee. So on our own store and our website, we won't need to sell that much. And so that made our website and dunk contest store sales seem achievable. And then what happened was, we didn't have that conversation first. We had the conversation with the Warriors. We didn't have the conversation with the group that runs their store. And so until after we'd already paid the minimum, we said, hey, you know, here, you want to put your order together? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's got some cool stuff here. We'll try this.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? That's like 10% of what we thought you were going to try. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close to the season. We've already ordered tons of shit. Like, we don't, you know, if it does well, we'll order more. But it was like, oh, no, we've just, you know, A, we ordered way too much product.
Yeah.
Because B, we thought a lot of that was going to go to you. And B, we paid way too much in an upfront guarantee against future royalties because we thought you were going to buy a whole bunch of shit from us at wholesale.
Yeah.
So when they didn't, I think we were assuming that wholesale sales would be at least half. I think we actually were considering like half to 60% of our sales.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen, right? So obviously then it was tough to make up the guarantee. But it's another scenario is it's also even if you're like if you're doing a job interview or even if you're just in a sales meeting, like we have situations, for example, where we've been talking to investors, right? And so it's hard sometimes to flip back and forth between sale mode where you're trying to make them feel very comfortable that you've got everything covered, you know, that we're our own, we're experts in all the fields that we're in business in, that like they can trust us 100%, right?
Yeah.
We don't need their help. We just need their money, blah, 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 blah. Or their help will accelerate what we're doing versus like we have to have it. And then it's a fine line between that. And then you also want to give off, you know, you also want to be, hey, you're going to be a new partner. So we're going to be a new team. And so we're receptive to this. We don't know everything and we want to learn from you and can't wait to all do this, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of been interesting to watch as different people talk to them how that plays out, right? And I don't know what's right or wrong, right? Like, you know, if you go too much out of your way to be like, I got it. Like, I'll show you guys how we do it. I'll show you. Then, you know, then it could turn into where they think, do you guys want a partner? You know, or do you guys just, you know, are you going to be open to change and like help? Or are you guys just want to do it on your own? But then if you're too like, oh yeah, we can't wait to see like what you guys are going to do for us and how things are going to change. Then it almost makes them think like, do you guys have any conviction? Do you like,
do you know what you're doing?
Or like, are we here to just grow up beyond this? Or are we here to like figure out what the hell's going on right now?
So how do you find the balance?
I don't know. I think probably in this case, it's probably just by each person has a different approach, right? I'm fairly like, we need, you know, here's what we've done and here's why we think you could help us be better. And then, you know, some people are more, I can't wait for you guys to show us what to do. And then some people are more like, you know, it's tricky, right? Everyone basically thinks for themselves, like, what's the best strategy here for myself and personally? And like, what's that balance between like making people think you're open to help without making them think that you don't know what you're doing? Or how do you balance like making it clear to them that you want to be part of a team, but still highlighting the fact that you are capable of a lot individually, right? It's not easy. It's trickier than I thought. It's just, for me, it's been interesting to watch in these discussions, right? If it's just me in the discussions, then I don't get to watch. But, you know, I obviously second guess how I come across and all that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But then it's interesting to watch others on the team and the different approaches they take, because I think we've got the whole spectrum of, you know, some people at this extreme, some people at that extreme, some people in the middle. So it's interesting to see. You know, we won't really know unless we actually do something, right? So if we move forward with something, then it'll be interesting to see how they interpreted each person's approach to it and how that, you know, affect, you know, how that plays out.
Yeah.
You know, when it's now an integrated team. I mean, I guess it's the same as like when you go to fucking 24 to play basketball, right? There's like, you say you go on a team where there's like two guys already know each other and you're just playing pickup and you get put on that team, and it's like kind of like, at some point, you just have to choose. Am I just going to float around and set screens all day, you know? Or if I get the ball, am I going to fucking shoot it? Or like, you know, if, you know, like how much am I going to push back if someone's giving me shit? Yeah. Or like, you know, it's so anytime there's like people coming together to form a new team, I think there's all that challenge and everyone has different perspectives. And in a perfect world, everyone meshes together and says, oh, we all did this a little bit differently, but we all have the same cause. Maybe I guess by now we'll know if that happened for our Speed Quarters team.
Yeah. That actually is funny. That reminds me of a story of, you know, when we used to get shows and book shows with bands and stuff like that. This one band came in there hot to the bar. Pretty big Broadway studios in San Francisco.
Was it your band?
No, another band. They asked us to open, right? So we're like, all right. You know, it's 200 people. He's like, dude, I got a headliner. I got all this stuff, right? We show up Thursday, tells this to the bar owner, has fully staffed, 3 bars going, everything ready to go, and no one showed up. because the headliner quit or dropped out like 2 days before. He couldn't find a headliner. It was just the bands watching the other band play, and the owner just furious because he had this whole staff ready to go, and then they just close up early. It was pretty bad.
And then what sucks is everyone else loses credibility, right?
Exactly.
So one guy was like overly optimistic or overly trying to impress him, and then makes everyone else look bad. But then again, if he'd gone in and said, hey, man, I think we might have one or two people show up, we're not sure, then you wouldn't have had the place.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's never easy.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's just, yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, I guess it is like kind of like the, like they talked about like the Warriors, right? Where they always said, like, well, like, it doesn't seem that hard that you would want to play with the best players in the world. And if one of the best players in the world could come to your team, that you wouldn't be like, yeah, I want him to come to the team. But then I'm sure there's a practice where like Durant comes in, he's kind of like, he's from an environment where Russell Westbrook, I'm assuming, is like, I got to be the alpha dog. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't care if you're Kevin Durant, I'm the alpha dog. And then, so Kevin Durant's probably got to be a little bit more like, no, I'm going to take my shot. No, fuck you, I'm going to do this. And then he comes into Warriors where Curry's more like, dude, I need to prove to you, here's how it is. Let's all be on the same team.
Yeah.
They're probably, and who knows, maybe there's a little more, maybe the egos behind closed doors are more like, nah, but it seems like it's just no. Like, it is what it is. Just play. Like, we're not threatened by you, right? Because it's kind of like having an investor. New guy comes in, we already won a championship, and then it's like, is everyone threatened by him? No, they're like, embrace it. But then at the same time, it always affects someone, right? Like, so maybe like Curry and Draymond and Clay, their numbers go down a little bit, but they're still all-stars.
Yeah.
Right? And so maybe if one of them would have pushed back a little bit more, everything would have been fine. Maybe one of them would have had more personal accolades, but I think they found that collectively they'll all get the, being part of a team was more important.
Winning was more important.
Yeah. But then at the same time, there's someone who got pushed off the end of the team, right? Because now you're bringing KD on, and you got, there's 12 guys, now there's only 11 spots.
Yeah.
So what was that guy's, you know, that guy, there must have been another, I mean, not even with KD, but like on any team, right? When you sign someone, always forget about the dynamic at the end of the bench. Yeah. Those guys have got to be like, you know, who knows how heated it gets between those guys of like, why should I stay? Why should you, you know, why should I stay? Or even when it's like, who should take a pay cut and all that stuff. So it does seem like the most successful teams have balance. The most successful coaches probably set realistic expectations, at least publicly. So if we could do it again, I would go back to the Warriors and I would, when I asked them what they thought we would do, I would go double check with the people they thought we were going to sell to, if that was actually the case.
Yeah.
And then I would go to the, and then I would think about what we thought realistically we could sell on our own in our store and on our website and based on whatever marketing we're going to do. And I would put all that together and then I would go to the league and say, here's what we could do. And I think that would have significantly lowered the amount of money we paid up front.
Yeah.
Which then in turn would have changed the pressure to on how much you needed to sell each month. So that's it. That's the hard sell on hard selling.
All right. Sold.
What's the opposite of a hard sell, Dennis?
A soft whimper. I don't know. Well, if you like what you hear, go to follow us on, now let's see if I can do this, at the Startup Addict.
Well, first let's talk, as soon as this is over, this is what happens after every episode. Dennis is going to say, hey, that was about 18 minutes. And if you wouldn't have kept repeating yourself, we could have been out of here in 14.
Yes, I do. We have to get.
So I apologize for the 4 minutes. I'm going to get to get beat up for afterwards.
I got to practice for speak quarters.
Yeah, for the next event. I mean, we can't reveal how SQ3 went.
Yeah.
But SQ4, we're excited about.
Side note on that, you can edit this out if you want, but I was at Devil's Canyon, which is the potential spot for SQ4.
Yeah.
This is legit. It's really nice in there. They were really cool.
Yeah, I haven't been able to go. In fact, I probably oversold myself on that one. I think I told Jesse that I was going to be able to go without really thinking it through. And then... you know, when there was no play date for Luke, who's probably not listening, then that plan went out the window.
Mm.
So, all right, now we added another minute. Look at that.
All right, just tacking them on.
Are you recording finally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what is it? Instagram? What is it? Startup Addict? The Startup Addict?
Yeah.
Twitter.
Let's start something different. Let's see if people will leave us feedback. If people will leave us feedback,
free T-shirt for a feedback.
We'll pick people out of the feedback, and we'll give out some dunk contest gear.
Yes.
So leave us feedback on iTunes or Instagram or Twitter. Send us some comments. Send us something.
Yeah.
So we know we're not just talking to ourselves here. We need to get better. We need your help.
Yes.
So let us know what you think. You know, sometimes we think we goof off too much. Sometimes we think we don't goof off enough. Sometimes we think we have good thoughts. Sometimes we think those thoughts were ridiculous. The only consistent thing we have is we need someone else to do the intro for Dennis, but we just keep letting him do it every week.
I could change it. I can do characters. All right, follow us on YouTube. I guess we still have to search for it, right? All right.
Well, yep.
Let's move on from that. And then that's it. All right, goodbye.
See you later. All right, soft sell.
Soft sell.